Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Hollywood. Yes, this is Kate Romero, and my co-host is
Amanda Robinson.
That's right.
We welcome you very much. This is our actually our very first show, and so those of you that actually showed up, we thank you very much.
There's a lot of them. I just know it. I feel it. So, Amanda, let's talk about, to start with, what you're up to in Hollywood and spirituality. And the organization that you are the director and founder of, why don't you tell us all a bit about that?
Yes, this is ISELA, which stands for the Institute for Spiritual Entertainment Los Angeles. And if you guys are on your computers, you can check it out right now or write it down. It's www.I, S as in spiritual, E as in entertainment, dash, that's a little hyphen, LA.org. www.ise-la.org, and it actually sprouted out from the Spiritual Cinema Circle, which was co-founded by Stephen Simon. He's a Hollywood producer. He co-produced the film What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams, and some older films, Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeves, and more recently he directed and produced the Indigo movie, and now, Conversations with God, he directed and produced, and that's going to be coming out this year in October, so pretty quickly. So keep your eyes and ears open for feature film Conversations with God, based on the books written by Neil Donald Walsh. And actually, it's not based on the books, it's based on his life. So we'll let you know more about that as time goes on. But we here in Los Angeles are our own organization, but we're affiliated with, we're not a direct subsidiary, and we're a nonprofit organization under the National Heritage Foundation, 501c3, and we're a group of filmmakers, actors, writers, producers, directors, the whole gamut, even crew and finance and the whole thing. Everybody involved in the process of making film is invited, and we're referred to as an artistic community, meaning we're the creative people. And our purpose is to promote and to create film and other media in this new emerging genre, which hasn't officially formed a name yet, but there are some different names out there, such as spiritual cinema, transformational media, cultural creatives, and so forth. So it's not yet a recognized genre by Hollywood, but it's very fast growing, and it's spurting out in all directions. And one of our purposes is to bring all these independent filmmakers together and collaborate, because the power is in the numbers, and creating an audience for this type of media, which is basically more uplifting, inspirational, transformational type of film and media. And that's who we are.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. And thank you for creating such a great organization to help move consciousness forward, that is going at a pace and a momentum that just cannot be stopped. And to have you leading the way in the way that you are, Amanda, is just wonderful. I know for myself, the first time I found out about you, I was invited to go by a young actor named Chris, who said, you've got to go here. This is a really great place. Come in here. They're having a special guest that night of David Welch, the producer of The Peaceful Warrior, and John Rotz, who is visioneering. He's a great, wonderful New Thought and inspirational publicist with spiritual marketing, everything to do with that. And I went and I listened and I saw the room fill up and I looked around me and I went, wow. Everybody here is from my planet. I found a home. This is awesome. And it was actually the very best networking event that I had ever been to up to that point. And ever since I went to your networking evening, Amanda, my life has opened up and taken off in ways that I certainly did not expect, just because I found a community with so much support in it that we just all delight in each other. Everyone who shows up there.
And you know, that's what we're finding is when people finally find us, they're like, gosh, we didn't know you existed. So obviously that shows we need to get out there more. But also they're saying, you know, gosh, I can't believe it. I feel like I found home.
Right.
And I keep hearing people, you know, whether they're actors or writers or whoever, you know, saying, you know, I wish you guys existed before, and, you know, they're fed up or they're just not able to fit into the traditional Hollywood structure for different reasons, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, they're just finding that this is a place for them that they weren't able to express themselves before how they wanted to.
Right, because basically what we've dealt with over the years is people having to hide their spirituality, right?
Yes, exactly.
For the most part. It's something you don't talk about.
Yeah,
it's something you don't discuss.
In Hollywood, it's like, forget it. If you're like at a major studio or, you know, casting or anything like that, and you start to talk about, even on the set, you know, on TV or film or whatever, you start to talk about it, and they're like, they look at you strangely, like...
Yeah, and suddenly no one's talking to you anymore.
And they think you're weird or strange.
Yeah, and you know what? That's my idea of cool, is people who are weird like that. And I'm hoping to instill that kind of thinking into everybody's mind, is that... consciousness is the one guarantee you have in life to create the life that you want. It's consciousness. And to get completely conscious and aware of who you are, what you're doing here, what you love, find a way to make money at it, get it out there on the market, make sure that it's from the heart and it's helping people, and your physical needs will always be provided for. Absolutely indisputable.
Yeah, it's amazing how when you do what you really love and what you're about, things fall into place.
The money comes, and it's not just money. The love comes. The self-love comes. The integrity comes. The honor comes. The legacy comes. The building of a brand new world comes. And it's all because you're finding out who you really are, and you're expressing that in the best way you know how, in an arena that is our most fabulous communication tool that we have on the planet, is, I believe, the entertainment industry. I mean, you make a new thought film or an entertaining blockbuster, it will circle the globe in no time flat and wake everybody up to the level that they're capable of at that time. But it's a wonderful, wonderful instrument to use to help people understand who they are, to respect themselves, to honor themselves, to love themselves, accept and forgive themselves. And I can't think of a better thing to be doing for myself as my purpose in life. And I see that you and I are definitely kindred spirits in that regard, Amanda.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you hit it. A lot. Most people don't know who they are and realize that they do have that power and consciousness to use as they will. And a lot of times I think people come to Hollywood looking for something. I think they're really trying to find out who they are more than anything else.
They're looking for themselves.
Yeah, and I think they get disappointed because they're depending on Hollywood to tell them who they are, and it just doesn't work.
No, if we depend on any person to tell us who we are, we will be disappointed 100% of the time. We have to get that from our source. We have to get that from our core. I recently did a seminar for about 75 actors, and about 80% of them did not know who our living luminaries are, and about 80% of them were not on a spiritual path. And I cannot imagine a life doing something so difficult, filled with so much rejection, without the support of having a spiritual core, because that's the best support you could possibly want. And as I'm doing my work as a talent manager, I'm instilling into my own clients through osmosis in every way I can possibly think of, through sending out newsletters and asking questions and being present and finding out what they need and seeing where their blocks are and helping them work through that, because that's the joy of life. It's not getting to the destination. It's working out the stuff.
Yeah, the process.
The journey, the process, that's the delicious part of it. And as a talent manager, I have a wonderful opportunity to really get underneath the hoods of my clients in that way, and in a very respectful manner, and just challenge them to step out and step onto the court in a more powerful way than they ever did before, and to see themselves already on the billboards, on the cover of TV Guide. And it's not about ego, it's about expressing the God that they are and the gifts they were given, and using that to the absolute nth degree. And that's what is such a joy in my life to get to do every single day.
Cool. Well, you know, you mentioned you were a talent manager, so you want to tell them about your organization?
Oh, yes, I think I will. Thank you for asking. I am president and CEO of Guardian Angel Entertainment and Enterprises, and we are a talent management company with a focus on consciousness. I am also a motivational speaker. I am also a life coach, career coach, relationship coach, and I lead courses and create courses for groups of actors that go anywhere from a one-day intensive to 6 weeks, over a period of 6 weeks. And this information is so rich and so potent that I sort of channel through myself to the people who show up in my classes, that it takes sometimes a little time to go out into the world and apply the things that they're learning through these classes so that they can apply it in a powerful way to the rest of their lives. And it's not something that's just transient. You know, you go to seminars sometimes and you learn something, you get inspired, it feels good for a little while, and then you forget all about it. Well, enlightenment's different. Transformation is different. Change is transient. Transformation is permanent. Enlightenment is not reversible. And that is the approach I take in the teaching that I do, the coaching that I do, and also the talent management that I do. And I feel very, very lucky to be in a position to make a difference in that way. And what I'm looking to do in my next step of next level is to collaborate with people and bring about really wonderful, inspirational blockbuster films that make a huge difference without being obvious that that's what it's about, that it's a message film, just filled with humor and pathos and wonderful, wonderful true life experiences, and just reveal that to the world. And the more we do things like that, and the more we put out that kind of media, the more the violence and fear is transformed into just peace of mind and happiness. And as Pollyanna as that might sound, I'm all for Pollyanna.
So when you say create these films, so you're also looking into producing?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely, and I'll cast every one of my own clients in these feature films because they've certainly earned a place there. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been grooming everybody towards the very direction that I'm headed, which is to get the message out every way I possibly can to everyone I can of who you really are, and that you're perfect, whole, and complete just because you were born, and there's really nowhere else to get except to realize that, step into that, breathe life into that, create that character, and you have healed yourself.
Do you coach all of your people that you manage?
Well, the ones that have blocks that I've had for a couple of years and I don't see a whole lot of progress, I'll work with them and work with them and work with them. But a lot of times people think if they spend money on themselves that that's a waste of money. I don't understand that thinking, because if you don't go within, you're going to go without. So if you want to really become a money magnet, you need to start investing in yourself in ways that are going to matter, like personal coaching, for instance. I offer 3 sessions. And in the first session, I introduce the person to who they were born to be, which is their true nature, and that's love, joy, happiness, freedom, and prosperity. And that's who they really are. Everything else that's around that is just static. And once they realize who they really are and get back in touch with that, then we really get busy in the next 2 sessions and building a blueprint, putting that into action for a brand new way to think about themselves and a brand new way to live. Because what you think about, you bring about. And thoughts are things. And I help teach them to choose the good ones, choose the best ones.
So you do usually do at least 3 coaching sessions with
yes.
all of your...
Yes, yes.
Okay.
And in 3 coaching sessions, really, and it's like I'm not the kind of coach who will make a person dependent upon me. I want to teach them how to fish so that they can eat for a lifetime, not just give them a fish so they can eat for a day. And I just do the 3 coaching, send them off on their way. It is absolutely one of the most exhilarating, joyful things that I could possibly do, and it's amazingly successful because I'm not the one doing it. I am the facilitator. But whatever's going on between my client and myself is is divinely appointed, and I'm just following instructions. It has nothing to do with me.
Cool. Do you follow the breakdowns and all that daily stuff?
Oh, yes, I do. I make sure that everybody's being suggested and pitched for the best things that they're right for. I always treat my clients as if they're the top celebrity out there and put them right in the running with everybody who's a big name Oscar winner. It doesn't bother me that my clients haven't reached that level yet. I believe if I keep doing that they will reach that level, and they are little by little by little by little, and as they co-create with me on a metaphysical level, which is beyond the world of form, which is just believing it into reality, the clients who are most able to do that and at a level where they understand that and they vibrate at a higher level are the most gainfully employed and make the most money.
Mm-hmm. And I'm just curious, what do you look for in your talent that you represent? What's the
number one thing I look for is humanity. That's the number one thing I look for. And if they're talented on top of that, great. We're going to have fun. But humanity meaning that they understand that we're here to contribute, and if it's not a win-win situation, they don't want to play. It has to be a win-win situation. People who are their word, people who have integrity, people who have wonderful work ethics, people who take good care of themselves. You can just tell because they're radiant, their health is great. They're not the kind of person who will take their car in for a checkup a lot more often than they do themselves. I'm talking about people who really care about who they are being and that they're being the change they want to see in the world. People who have a mission, people who have a mission statement. People who have direction and belief in themselves and are willing at least to step into the unknown and embrace uncertainty by believing in themselves more than they ever did. That's the kind of client I just love to represent, because we're pure creation. We're just pure creation. And the clients that I represent who limit themselves, part of the fun for me, as frustrating as it can be at times, is to bring them further into creating and letting go of the limitations that stop them from trying new things.
Mm, interesting. And do you represent actors mostly, or who do you represent?
I represent actors. Acting would be every person's first language, but I also represent actors who are dancers, who are singers, who are gymnasts, who are you name it, anything else. And I absolutely love to represent people who have unique special skills. I have one client, Stevie McKinley, who's a stilt walker and a belly dancer, and she's a blonde, blue-eyed, beautiful girl from Topeka, Kansas, believe it or not, and she's been on, I think, 3 world tours now with the Belly Dance Superstars, and just kicking butt, just really one of the most free, open spirits, so coachable, so lovable, so absolutely gifted and in touch with her greatness that it's just so much fun to work with her. And that's just an example of all of my clients. Mm-hmm. You know, they take the unusual and make it usual. They take the insurmountable and prevail. You know, it's
cool.
A beauty.
Now everybody can look at these people, right? Did you give them your website?
It's www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces. And I also want to tell the listening audience about this wonderful community that I discovered called ZADS, or ZODS. It's a Dutch word meaning seeds, and it is www.zaadz.com. Check out that site. Register. It's free. It's an awesome community with so many wonderful people there. And I don't know if you've signed up, Amanda, but I really think you should, because a lot more people will find out about ISELA by that.
I did just sign up the other night, so I haven't even had a chance to go back onto it yet.
Hey, wonderful. Good. Say hi to me when you get in there.
Okay.
Great.
I will.
So I don't know, because I'm not paying attention to really what's coming out of my mouth. I'm not sure if I've answered all your questions. I'm just trusting myself.
No, I was just because you asked me about what ISELA is, and so I asked you about what Guardian Angel is, and that's
great.
Where we're at.
Great, and I'll just read a little bit from the BBS Radio website. It's a motivational speaker, course designer and leader, spiritual motivational and soul blueprint, life coach, relationship coach, non-denominational ordained minister, personal trainer, creator of the 7-minute workout, author, artist, and producer. That's the stuff I do so far. And I'm only at maybe 40% of my capacity of busyness or how much more I could do in my life. And I had one person I was interviewing as a potential client the other evening. He said, "My gosh, you do so many things. What makes you think you'll have time to represent me?" And I said, "What makes you think I won't have time to represent you?" And he said, "Well, aren't you worried about burnout?" And I said, "No, I hadn't really thought about that. Because every single thing I do, I absolutely love. I can't wait to get up in the morning to do it. I go to bed thinking about it. I mean, I can't think of a richer lifestyle of being happy or doing anything else. And if being happy can burn a person out, then I haven't heard of that."
Yeah, well, I'm sure if you know and that's your intention to have lots of energy, you will.
Well, it feeds me. It feeds my energy because I know what my purpose is.
Yeah, you're doing what you want to do.
Absolutely. And there's a difference between having a cause and having a purpose. Having a cause is something that you have an issue about that you need to fix. Having a purpose is you've stepped into why you're here. You've discovered what you love. You discover what lights you up, what inspires you, what makes you happy, what makes a difference in the world. And you find a way to make money at that, and it's nirvana. Everybody can. Every actor out there right now who's working in a job that they hate doesn't have to be doing that while they're making their career happen. They could be finding something holistic that they love to do, something healing, like massage therapy, name a few things. You know, I think there's so many people that go to ISELA that have these other wonderful gifts and qualities that heal people.
That's what they're doing.
Yeah. And through acting, you can heal people. And what I also instill in my clients and everybody that I can, my students, is when you make acting a way to be of service, you no longer have your hand out saying, "Please give me a job." You are then saying, "I'm here to resolve your problem. I'm here to solve your problem. I'm here to be your solution. How may I serve you?" And when you shift your approach from neediness to giving and being of service, you get a completely different outcome every time.
Good, very good. All right, let's move on to something else here. Why don't we both answer something that's similar?
Okay.
Like, what are our goals?
What are your goals?
The goals of ISELA, we're doing a series of short projects.
Uh-huh.
My first film was The Gentle Barn. That was about a 15-minute short. And we just finished Angel Beach, which was just about 10 minutes.
Tell me about The Gentle Barn. What was the premise of it?
The Gentle Barn is an actual place in Santa Clarita. And it's like a big farm where they have taken abused animals or injured animals, forgotten animals, and house them. And this is including farm animals, like big ones, like cows and pigs and goats and chickens and all kinds of things. And what they do is they have a program where they actually bring in like autistic kids or, you know, abused kids or senior citizens. You know, people that need some healing.
Yeah.
And they come and they interact with the animals, and then they see a healing that happens on both sides, with the animals and with the people. And it's very quite a place. And this film was actually based on a real story, Thomas's story, about a man that had Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in and he interacted with the animals, and all of a sudden, he just, like, the whole new world opened to him. People had realized that he hadn't spoken for well over 6 months, and all of a sudden he was carrying on conversations, and he was so excited, and he said, "I love this place," and he started running all around with joy, and something was kicked in from his childhood, you know, a joyful feeling and moment, and apparently he kept talking for several months after that experience.
Wow.
So apparently things like that happen all the time. So that was based, you know, on a true story.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that, Amanda. I didn't even know what the, I know that I like the title of the film, but it made me want to know what was it about. And wow.
Yeah.
A lot of richness there.
Yeah. And then the Angel Beach, this was created by just collaborating with a lot of our members at one of our mastermind sessions. And we just said, hey, let's go for it. We just, some ideas came up real quick, and we said, you know, let's do this, 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 and this, and we did it.
And yes, and you were the star.
Yes, I acted in it, and I produced it, and we had
wow.
a great director, Vivi Hsu, and a writer, Stephen Hale Garland, and it was shot in Baja California, and a little bit in Los Angeles.
And Michelle Blood was your angel.
Yes, and Michelle Blood, yeah, very nice woman who has a lot of similarities to you as well, motivational
including
speaker,
her hairdo,
performer, same thing. So many similarities. It's funny.
Yeah, it's an energy thing.
Yeah, the energy, high energy,
entertainer.
Exactly.
Right. So what other films do you have coming up that you're looking to produce? Do you have anything yet?
Well, I'm still working on distribution because I executive produce that as well, co-executive produce. But what we do is we have what's called mastermind meetings.
Right.
And we're going to start them up again in the fall, in September, where all of our active members get together and the actors introduce themselves and what they're about and, you know, what how they want to express themselves truthfully and what their essence is and so forth. And the writers listen. And then the writers talk about, you know, what they've done and what they're looking to do and what's their style and so forth. And then we actually match the writers up with the actors, and the writers will actually write for the actors, specifically for the actors.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it's different. It's kind of backwards to what Hollywood does. But
I think it's a great idea, and I think it's to think outside of the box in that way. I mean, that's what the entertainment industry is. But a lot of times it gets stuck in the box.
Yeah.
And to bring it to add spirituality to Hollywood, I can't think of a better, more timely thing to do. Can you?
No, I can't.
It's absolutely time. And, I mean, just so many amazing, wonderful films out there happening and projects in the works and being developed, and it's all geared towards healing the planet, healing the world. I just was on a wonderful conference call with James Redfield, the author of Celestine Prophecy, and his movie's out right now as well. And thousands of people from all over the world were on the same call to focus intentionally our healing energy towards the Middle East. And also, not only that, Amanda, but to also focus our energies towards the leaders who are making the decisions that are allowing this war and allowing this killing, to have them come from their highest, best wisdom instead of just coming from ego-based or automatic thinking, because every person on the planet has their highest, best wisdom, their higher self, and many of them, you know, don't even know it's an option to use it. So we aimed our energy at, you know, just opening up the minds and hearts of the people in charge, and also healing the people involved with the war and to heal the planet in that way. And I got to tell you, I had my phone on speakerphone, and it got so hot from all that energy, I had to put it down. Hmm. It was an amazing thing.
It was actually hot. You felt heat.
Heat from my phone, yes.
Yeah.
Had to put it down. Everything is energy. Everything. And when you focus intentionally healing energy at anything, it will make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And does. And the person aiming it as well as who's receiving it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of the listeners, you know, on this show, because a lot of them are, you know, have that spiritual path that they're working on, you know, understand a lot of this stuff intuitively. It just comes to us, you know. It would be great sometime if we could, you know, do something like this for, you know, slowly bring more people onto this show that are not always like-minded but might learn something from it.
Yes.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the more of us that gather together, the more people are going to feel like, because a lot of people go by peer pressure, I've noticed
yes.
in my lifetime. They just follow along. So if somebody that's not of this like mind is all of a sudden surrounded by people like this, of a higher light, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden it lifts them up.
Yes, it does.
And they follow along with.
Right, and that's why you hit it right on the head. When you expose yourself to somebody of a higher vibration, which means it's really wonderful to have a, let's look at it in a non-spiritual way. If somebody wanted to be a TV producer and they asked Jerry Bruckheimer to be their mentor, then wow, what a high vibration person he is, who's just a money magnet and a success magnet, maybe without even knowing why he is, but he just is. And you hang around with somebody like that for your mentor, you're going to raise your vibration to meet theirs. Do you see?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing is true with a spiritual leader. You get the best ones that you resonate with as your mentor, and you will raise your own vibration to meet theirs. So it's very, very important to find someone who is already in the place you see yourself going and ask them to mentor you. The higher up they are, the more they say yes. Please don't be intimidated to ask.
That reminds me, I just went to the Guerrilla Business School with T. Harv Eckert, and one of the things that was clear was wherever you want to go or whatever business you want to work in, whatever company or whatever, go to the highest person and spend a day with them, no matter what it takes. I mean, we heard stories of people, you know, paying $15,000 a day to spend the whole day with this, you know, leader or mentor. I mean, that's kind of drastic, but, you know, they did whatever it took.
Right.
But they said that that was, like, the most life-changing experience.
I could see that.
You know, go at least buy them lunch and, you know, pick their brain.
Right.
But be, you know, aggressive like that, because that's what you want. That's the energy that you want to mix with
right.
Rub off on you.
Right, exactly. I designed a course for AIA Studios called How to Take the Agent or Manager of Your Dreams to Lunch and What to Say When You Get There. And it was all about doing that very thing and placing yourself in an environment where the intimidation level is completely dissolved. Because a lot of people won't invite people that they admire or want to work with out of feeling they might get rejected,
right.
When actually that's not true at all, because if you just make an effort and go for it and risk, you'll find that you get a lot more things that you never dreamed you would just by making the effort. And I believe personally that not to risk is the biggest risk in life that you could possibly do.
Right. So you had asked me what our goals are, what my goals are.
Yes. Making movies.
So, yes, obviously we want to work up to feature films once we get some grants and donations and so forth, and also attract individuals that can also work with and help, you know, finance these things. And then eventually the idea is to create a studio specifically for this genre, where people would come to make these types of films and attract these types of filmmakers.
Well, I believe that, and that's coming for you. I already see it done, as a matter of fact. But the spiritual cinema circle,
mm-hmm.
is, you know, it's doing so many wonderful things that you have in your mind and your heart to do as well, right?
Yeah.
So I see them as a great resource for helping what you would like to do get done.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Well, I know, well, Stephen is working on his own, he works separately, just doing his own films.
Stephen Simon, that is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's doing, you know, he has a lot of things going on, like film festival at the sea, and, you know, he's got now some children's and book products and books and transformational book circle and so forth.
I just saw the Indigo Children film. That was so amazing.
There's Indigo the movie, and then there's Indigo Evolution.
Oh, it's the one that Stephen produced.
Well, he actually helped finance both of them. Indigo is the drama, and Indigo Evolution is a documentary.
I saw the documentary.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely amazing. Incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, there's evidence everywhere that the spiritual path is it's creating its own trail. It just can't be stopped. And people are being called to it who are quitting their corporate jobs to find something to do that makes a difference for people. It's happening all over the place.
Yeah. So what we have with ISE communities, we actually have more than one community. There's ISE LA, and then there's ISE NY for New York, ISE Chicago, Phoenix. Now we've got London, and we've got interest in Germany and Australia and New Zealand.
Wow, you're going global.
Canada, many of them in Canada as well. And so with these artistic communities, which are the filmmakers, we've got about 35 right now. And we kind of network and we support each other. We have conference calls and we give each other ideas. It's going very fast, and as it builds and we have more resources and so forth, we will work with each other, physically work with each other when we travel to shoot and film. So for instance, say in Los Angeles, we wanted to shoot a film that had some scenes in New York. Well, we could go over there and use that talent that's in ISC and why, for
right.
acting, crew, whatever we need at that time.
And, right.
So it's a huge network.
So you've got a global support system in place.
Exactly.
That's brilliant.
So that's, the idea is that's our goal, to build that up, to create a studio somewhere. We're not sure where yet. I'm actually starting to scope different locations out for it and create this. So, and then my personal goals would be to act in a few more films, including some features, and do a few more producing roles as well.
Mm-hmm.
This Angel Beach, the experience was great as a producer, and I really enjoyed it.
And wasn't it natural how it all fell into place?
Yeah, it was very natural for me, the whole producing role.
When something's right, that's the way it happens. Either just almost effortless. You got your little glitches to work out, but that's part of the fun of it.
Yeah, definitely.
So do you have a next project, a title of anything, or are you just doing the masterminding thing, trying to mine the gold that's to come?
That's right. Through the mastermind, we'll decide what next project, and eventually we actually want to be working on, two or three projects at the same time.
Right. Right. I think a blockbuster feature film with a wonderful, wonderful message in it that's just wrapped up in lots of excitement and drama and humor. I just feel one coming. I don't know what it is, but I just really sense one on the horizon, and I would sure love to be a part of it. And I'm doing everything I can to attract it as quickly as I can.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've sure got the talent. I mean, we've got some great writers. I've read some such amazing scripts.
And the talent that I have in my company, too, it's like I just want to bring them everywhere and make them a part of everything. And if any of them feel threatened that I'm doing so many things, I don't know why they would, because I'm on top of everything every single day, and they're out there auditioning probably more than they ever have in their lives, and it's only building on itself. And just a little digress here. When I was a few years back, when I was managing, I worked with a talent agency as a manager, and I had about 18 clients placed there for a few years, and I was paid the highest compliment of my career by this agency. It was Herb Cannon and Associates. They approached me and they said, we really, really love the way you manage people. You really care about what you're doing. You're really professional. You're really efficient. You're making a difference. People's careers are growing, and we just love to work with you. And we would like to know if you would like to be a theatrical agent here with us. And I was just floored. I was, wow, that's like, because a lot of times agents don't really like working with managers because it's just one more person you've got to go through, and they like a more direct route of just dealing with the talent. But a talent manager is a hands-on person who develops and creates and molds and guides and shapes everything, and is in charge of talking to the agents, the publicists, the business managers, everybody. And so with that in mind, the fact that agents don't particularly prefer to work with managers, to be invited to be a talent agent at the agency I was being a manager at was an amazing thing. So I asked for way more money than I thought they would give me. So I didn't have to make that decision because I had an office, I had myself settled, I was established, things were going great. I didn't need to change anything. And then they met my quote. I'm like, what am I going to do now? I have to do it.
Wow.
So I let go of my office and moved into the Beverly Hills and was a talent agent for a time. But what I found there is that I was very limited on what I could do for people individually. And I went from 30 clients to 300 clients. And had that talent agent job lasted longer, I may have worn myself out because I would try to manage personally every single person because that's my nature. But the SAG commercial strike that happened a few years back, you remember that, right?
Yeah.
That caused them to close their doors after 30 years. And everything for a reason. I took all my clients with me to the talent agency, and after it closed, I took them all back with me. I didn't lose one person, and many of them are still with me today. So it's been quite an adventure. And when you stay open and flexible and just trust that what's happening is for your greater good, it will turn out that way. So I don't know how I got off of what we're talking about.
Why don't you answer the question, what are your goals?
Goals? To do more of what I'm doing. I feel like I'm only using 5% of my power. I want to grow to the place where I'm using 120% of it or more. That's a lofty goal, but I believe that we all have the software and the hardware to achieve anything we want to have, do, or be in this world. I'll just boldly say I just turned 50, and it's the beginning of my life has happened. Finally, suddenly, you know, I'm able to apply the wisdom that I've learned through a lot of mistakes and a lot of lessons and a lot of beautiful suffering. And I say beautiful suffering because it all helped to teach me. And that's the way I approached it. I didn't see it as, why is this happening to me? I saw it as, wow, what can I make out of this? Mm-hmm. Many times I made it into a hat.
Yes, made you the person who you are today.
Yes, absolutely. So now, after making so many hats out of all that suffering, I wear every hat you can possibly give me, and I will expand the areas that I go in right up to having a global televised ministry called Epiphany, which is not about religion. It's about the freedom of spiritual thinking and learning to trust yourself. And if we had a world where every person trusted themselves, I believe that none of us would pick up a gun and shoot each other or hurt each other or disrespect each other. And I believe it's possible. I believe that's where we're headed. And I would like to see it move as fast as it could possibly move towards that goal. So that's my loftiest goal, and I will boldly say, also considering the radio station we're broadcasting from, I'm sure this will fit right in, my biggest goal in life is to be 100% full God expression, and whatever that means, whatever that looks like, that's what I'm headed for. That's what I want to be, and that's the way I start my day every day.
Wow, great. Excellent.
Yeah. So, and the other stuff in the world of form, like the physical needs I have or the kind of people that I need to attract to get these goals accomplished, they're just showing up everywhere, and I'm recognizing it. Your place, ISELA, for instance, a huge one, opens so many more doors, and it just gives me so much excitement and joy and inspiration to see that there's all this support out there. All you have to do is speak something, declare something, and it becomes so. For instance, about 4 years ago, my client, Jeff Van Vonderen, who's now my client, he wasn't then, I had a client who was and I will not mention names to protect people, who was a Christian celebrity and an alcoholic. And this Christian celebrity was doing some things that he shouldn't be doing on the set, and casting directors were calling me and saying there's really inappropriate behavior going on, and this person was married to the most lovely woman. And finally I called her one day and I said, the casting directors are telling me this and they're telling me that, and have you noticed anything strange at home? And she said, yes, there is something going on. So one thing led to another. She confided in me, and we thought, well, being this is a Christian situation, we need a Christian person to help us with this situation, because we just love this person dearly who was in trouble, and still do. So we found a Christian interventionist. An interventionist is somebody who comes in and raises the bottom on a person who's headed for real trouble, maybe death, through alcoholism, drugs, any kind of addiction, gambling, you name it. And this person is Jeff Van Vonderen, and he did such a marvelous, marvelous job at training all of us. I believe there were 9 of us involved in the intervention. All of his family, his best friends, me, because I was his talent manager, and we all sat by the windows and doors because he was so much in trouble that he needed alcohol to live. It was so bad that it was just coming out his pores, and he was intoxicated by 10 a.m. that morning when he showed up to find us all waiting for him to give him an intervention. And he comes in, and the look on his face is like, what's going on here? So the interventionist, Jeff, got up, he closed the door, and he introduced himself, and he says, here's what's going on. And then my client's wife started reading her letter to him about how his behavior was affecting her and what she needed from him in order for him to be able to stay in her life. And then each one of us went around the room and read our letters of how this person's problem was affecting us and what we needed from them if he was to stay in our lives as well. There wasn't a dry eye in the house, needless to say, and he just didn't want to go to treatment. He just didn't want to go, but Jeff just was so wonderful. He's a big guy, and he looks like Dr. Phil, and he's just the most wonderful man, and he convinced my client to go to treatment. And I said to him, I said, can we have coffee tomorrow? I want to talk to you about something. And he goes, sure. I'm just a civilian from Minnesota. And we had coffee, and I said, you need your own show. You really need to have your own show. And he went, wow, really, you think? And I said, well, yeah, because I didn't even know there was interventionists in the world. I didn't know that existed. Can you imagine how many lives and families you could save if you were on TV? And he goes, oh, well, go figure. So through a course of happy accidents, we are now in our 4th season on a show called Intervention. It's on A&E every Sunday night at 10 p.m., and there's an award. It's called PRISM, P-R-I-S-M, and it's the Art of Making a Difference. Well, Intervention took home on April 27th, which was my birthday. I was at the awards winner dinner with Jeff and all of the people at DRB Productions and A&E, and Intervention took home not just the PRISM Award, but the Presidential PRISM Award, which means it's not just the art of making a difference, it's the art of leaving a legacy. And I'm just so proud to be any kind of a little part of that. And it all started by making a declaration, by speaking it into the universe. It showed up, and boy, did it show up. And it's going way farther than we can even imagine right now. And just the feedback is amazing, and it's the highest rated show, I believe, on A&E to date.
Wow, so, really?
Yeah, so that's how that all happened.
I better get cable and
yeah, it's really wonderful, and it's helping so many people. The first few weeks that it was out, people were coming and turning themselves into treatment centers just with their families walking in and going, I want to sign up because if so-and-so who was an intern at the White House could go to treatment, then I can too. So it's already, I mean, it's just having a global effect.
And what do you do with this? And
well, I told Jeff Van Vonderen, who's the interventionist, one of I think 3 or 4 interventionists on the show, 4 years ago, he should have his own show, and it all showed up. So I'm his talent manager.
Oh, okay, cool.
Right, and it's just going great. It's just going fabulous, and I'm thrilled to be any tiny little catalyst in it. And what I'm saying this for is that if you speak something powerfully into the universe and step out of the way, it will show up. When it's from the heart. And if people out there are wondering, well, what can I do that I love? Well, first ask yourself, what's something from the heart? From the heart meaning, how will it heal people? How will it heal you? How will it heal the planet? How will it help to be even the smallest little support system of some other bigger system? You know, there are so many, I mean, let your imagination go crazy and then investigate how to make a living at it. You can.
Yeah, because ultimately, that's what you have to do to stay healthy and happy. And
yes, and if you do things from the heart, you're keeping your heart healthy.
Yeah. So let's do this because we only have about 5 minutes left. Let's pick another question to ask each other.
Okay.
That might have a short answer, and I have one to ask you. What is your performance background, and do you still want to perform?
Oh, well, that's a great question. I have about 15 years as a working actor. I was a single mom and learned to work the system by making every mistake you could possibly think of and having almost every experience you could possibly think of that will all be in the book I'm writing called The End of the Anonymous Actor, Changing Your Life Story Forever. Lots of funny things. In hindsight, it's funny. It wasn't funny when they happened at the time. It just seemed like life-threatening, but as I look back on it, I just have to laugh at some of these things that took place and how it impacted me, and I didn't even need to be nervous about it because it brought me to a better place, but hindsight is 20/20. And as far as acting again is concerned, it's getting to the point where producers that I'm meeting and directors that I'm meeting have been asking me to say, you know, my movie needs somebody like you. My movie needs a character like you. You're exactly like that character that we just wrote. And so I'm hearing more of that. And as I'm hearing more of that, I'm seeing that, yes, if I'm approached for the right thing, I certainly would put on my actor's hat again because it needs to be fed as well. And I feed it just in my seminars and things like that because I get to be entertaining and I get to have fun. And it feeds me in that way so far. And my ultimate goal would be have a life coaching show where we just have an audience of people and just do coachings live right on the spot and resolve issues from the smallest to the biggest right there for the world to see. And I believe my acting training, I even have it in the first place so it could bring me to that place so that I would be ready to step into something like that. So how about you? Let me ask you this. As an international artistic community coordinator, how much travel do you see in your future?
Oh, around that?
Yeah.
Well, that's hard to say because we're really still at an infant stage with all of this. And Los Angeles is actually the biggest community of all the artistic communities. Of course, New York is second largest, and London is getting pretty big. But, you know, it's a little challenging because there's really no financial support or structure. These are kind of all separate people starting their own organization and doing the best they can.
Well, that's an interesting point, Amanda. Let's look at that. How can we turn it into a financially supporting system where you would have all the money you need to do whatever you want, every single location?
That would be amazing.
What would it take? Grant writing?
Yes, it would take grant writing.
Okay, why don't we have a mastermind meeting about that?
Yeah, sure. Grant writing or even
grant writing.
Individuals that might be interested in, you know, donating.
And that too.
Yeah.
I think, you look at where the block is and you get that out of the way and so you can move forward.
Sure.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's do it. That's the way it happens. That's the way it happens.
Exactly.
You look at where the block is, and then you go, well, we can do something about that. No problem. Just focus on it.
Yeah.
Like everything. Like this radio show. That's kind of how it showed up, too.
Yes, exactly.
Right? Very
simple. Yeah, magical times when you kind of let go of certain blocks and open up and let things
flow. You know what I just thought of? I use my blocks to build what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought of that.
Wow.
Blocks are for. Blocks are to help you build what you want.
Yeah.
You just give them a different job. But first you have to find out what they are and how they've been affecting you. So,
right.
Wonderful. I'm so excited about this grant writing sponsor mastermind meeting upcoming.
Yeah, and also, maybe to any of our listeners, if any of our listeners are grant writers, I'm sure we can find some sort of compensation that would make it definitely worth their while.
Mm-hmm. Win-win situation. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And so everybody can contact me, Amanda Robinson, on the ISELA website, which again is www.ise-la.org. And why don't you give them your website again?
And my website is www.guardianangelmanagement.com, all spelled out, no spaces.
Yes. So we've got about a minute or two here. And so any last things you want to say, Kate?
Yeah. Let's think about who we're going to have on as our guests.
Okay. you know,
what do you have right off the top of your head?
Kate and I have quite a few contacts. So later in these shows, we're going to be interviewing amazing leaders, and we're going to have guest speakers on here. So every week it will be different, and we're going to have some just really leaders in this whole genre and this whole movement of spiritual entertainment.
Yes, and I have such wonderful ideas. And when I interviewed Neil Donald Walsh recently, the greatest part of our interview was a lesson he learned from his father. And I don't have time to tell the whole story, but the punchline to it is this: there is no door that is closed to you. No door. That is closed to you. All doors you would like to open will open if you focus on them and believe that you can. No door is closed to you.
That's right.
The world is your oyster, and you are the pearl. Well, that was spontaneous. And isn't it funny how a pearl is made from a grain of sand that irritates the oyster, that turns it into this beautiful thing?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, there's no throwaway.
Yeah, and just while we're here talking about things like this, I'd like to recommend for everybody to view a film called The Secret.
Yes.
And you can go on your computer to thesecret.tv. Just spell it out, thesecret.tv. And you can either watch it one time on there by paying a small fee of $5 or so, or you can actually order it and have it sent to you so you have it to watch several times over and over again, which I'm sure you're going to want to do.
Yes, I have a copy, and I have dinner parties and show it. And it's just the most amazing thing people have ever seen. And another one is see The Peaceful Warrior. Type it into Google and see where it's playing, and go see The Peaceful Warrior. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's a great film.
Yes, that was a very good one this year.
Yes, and Celestine Prophecy also.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, you can go to their website. You can Google them and then go to their websites. Yeah, of course, What the Bleep would be a great example of what this genre is.
Right, and Down the Rabbit Hole, they have another one.
Yes, and the Bleep Fest is coming up.
When is that? I don't have it in front of me.
Neither do I.
Okay. Well, you can Google that, too.
It's soon, and I have sent out emails. By the way, if anybody listening would like to be updated with ISELA events, networking meetings, and so forth, just go to our website and email me that you would like to be added to our email list. And then you can just show up and check it out and see what it's like and meet a lot of like-minded filmmakers there.
Absolutely. And also, anybody who wants to suggest a guest that we can interview, please send your suggestions to Guardian Angel MGT, Mary Go Tom, MGT, at sbcglobal.net. And your feedback would be most welcome as well to see. Let us know what you thought of our show and any ideas that you have for people you'd like to hear interviewed and things like that. Your thoughts are not only welcome, but they are encouraged.
Yes.
Right, Amanda?
That's right. Feedback definitely will help us, the positive.
Yes. We're all building everything together.
Yes.
Yes.
So
what a nice show, Amanda. Thank you so much for being my co-host.
Yeah, thank you. And we look forward to the future where this will gain momentum, and we will gain a larger audience. Of course, this is the first one, and we may only have a few people out there. So again,
I think there's a lot of people out there, and yeah, I sense a lot of listeners.
Very good, and feel free to email us with your suggestions and critique and so forth. Look forward to talking to those people that I know out there. I'm sure a lot of them know Kate, so we'll gather the information and
absolutely
use it.
And I want to end this too, Amanda, by thanking you for your place in the spiritual community and entertainment industry and what it is that your heart is calling you to do, and for the courage it took for you to step aside and allow it to show up and make such a difference in so many people's lives. Thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And I want to say that I really want to recognize Kate as one of the first people in Hollywood, especially talent managers, that have this higher awareness and understanding and is open to changing and looking up in positive ways that I have never seen in Hollywood before. And she's, the great thing about it is she's actually in the system, so to speak. she's able to converse with these people and work in, and she has for so long. And but her energy there is making such a big difference, and I hope that we can find more and more people within the traditional Hollywood system to be like her. And that's why I was so attracted to you, to know that there's actually someone out there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, very inspirational.
Thank you. And I know that as a pioneer, you're building a trail. And I'm happy to be the pioneer in this genre.
Yes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. So, Mr. Newsom, are you there?
Okay, well, I know it's about 7 o'clock,
so... It's 7 o'clock on the night.
And I'm happy to be the pioneer in this genre.
Okay. Well, thank you again, and we'll see you all next week.
Yeah, see you all next week, and we'll look forward to your feedback and suggestions.
Okay.
Have a great week. Bye, Amanda.
Good night.
Bye, honey.
Bye.